Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Steph Barnett, and yes, he's back. It's Mr. Shilton himself.
Hello indeed. Yes, coming up today, Black History Month.
Brigstow are kicking things off.
Mental health.
Maggie and Jane, two registered counsellors, will be talking to us live.
And out to swim.
As it sounds, Rob's here to tell us more.
All coming today, right here on Shout Out. I can do it because Lara's not here this week.
Yeah, there you go.
So, hello, did you miss me last week?
No.
You liar. I heard you say get well soon.
You were listening?
I still have to edit the podcast, even if I'm awful.
Yes, well, I'm not going to say you were a bit tardy on that, so apologies to our thousands of listeners who actually wait for the podcast. It was slightly late, wasn't it?
Well, I was a little bit ill.
At least slightly. You had man flu.
Yeah, I did have man
get
flu.
Get a grip.
Yeah, still. Anyway, so it sounded like you liked my choice of music last week. You and Lara had lots of comments about them our way through
the
show.
Yeah, it was not bad. Yeah. Better than your usual stuff you put in the show.
Well, she kept saying it was you that picked it, didn't she? And you kept going, she no, it was Andy.
She thought I was, yeah.
So, anyway, hello, Tara, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
So, yeah. It feels like I've been away for weeks and weeks and weeks. Yeah, it was only one week I missed. But
well, you know.
So, anyway, it's Black History Month, isn't it?
It started, and we got some specials coming up. Brigstow are going to be kicking us off because we got their monthly podcast coming up.
Indeed, yes. Did you know it's National Poetry Day today as well? I tried to find a gay poem, but they were all too rude to read on the radio. But I genuinely did look just to
Why
see.
Why does that not surprise me?
I'd ask you to do one, but I would imagine that'd be just as rude if you did it off
You're
the
cuff.
Well, go on then.
Dear.
Give us a poem.
Roses are red, violets are blue.
And
that's as far as it goes on there.
So have you got any good ones? No, that's just tickled Tara.
Nothing, yeah, Tara's lost it. Yeah, sorry. A bit of Burns, maybe?
Oh, will we incur in timorous beastie? Oh, what a panics in thy breastie.
Oh, there you go.
There's a gin. I spotted it. It was called the Timorous Beastie, and I had to explain where that came from the other day when I was drinking.
Okay.
When you were drinking?
Yeah. I had to try it.
You were drinking the gin.
Right.
Is that the language that you speak north of Hadrian's Wall, yeah?
There's lots of languages. So I'm actually from further north than that. So we talk in Doric, which is actually another subculture, if you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does it mean you can be really rude about us and we would have absolutely no idea what you were saying? Is this what you're trying to tell us?
Well, they translate the language. The Trollerman, that's what they subtitle it when they put it on TV because no one has an understanding of what we say.
Okay. And they're tight.
And they're tight.
Oi!
You know you're tight. Come on.
Look, okay, so Aberdonians are known as tight Scottish
there you
people.
Go.
We're tighter than the rest of the Scotland think we're tight. So there we go. So don't ask for a pint.
I don't know. Anyway, should we go back to Black History Month? So, because I think Brigstow's one is a special for Black History Month, isn't it?
They're
my five this week.
And Laura's organising one for later in the week. I think in 2 weeks' time we'll have a Black History Month special with Laura.
Cool. Excellent.
Who's won an award?
Yeah, I was going to say, we should say congratulations
absolutely,
to her.
Absolutely.
She's won an award, isn't
yes,
she?
Yes. So, yes. Absolutely.
But anyway, let's catch up with Brigstow.
My five on Shout Out.
Hello and welcome back to the Brigstow My Five. I'm Alid.
I'm Polly.
And together we are Tess Daly and Claudia Winkleman.
And you this week are Claudia.
I am.
I'm Tess.
Yeah. Because I am Polly's assistant.
That's true.
She's the boss.
It works like that.
Yes.
It works like that. So this month you're joining us at the start of Black History Month. So we thought we'd do a kind of themed My Five on HIV in black populations, BME populations. HIV is more prevalent within black and Asian communities. So black and Asian gay men have higher HIV prevalence than their white counterparts. This is often because of social or cultural differences and because services aren't working hard enough to reach out to these people, basically.
Correct. And that is something that we really need to start breaking down. And as services across the board, we need to start accessing these, you know, these, this community. They don't just have the stigma of HIV and what that comes across, but a lot of these people also have a stigma of being gay, and that could be one of the reasons why they've now contracted HIV. And within these communities, being gay in itself is heavily stigmatized. So by disclosing your status of HIV, you're also coming out, and they are going to need more support or a better community network around them to help them through this.
Yeah, so it's quite complex, the needs, really. Alan and I kind of was prepping for this. We know that we're two white people who work in the HIV field, and although we have these stats and these kind of pieces of information, we don't have the experience. So we deferred to two people that do. Coming up, we've got two kind of very short sound bites from Ant Badgie, who is a mixed race gay guy who's living with HIV, and then following that from a woman called Bakita, who is also HIV positive. So I'll leave it there. And enjoy them.
I'm Ant Babbagee, I'm 40, and I grew up in Somerset. I'm mixed race, my dad's from Mauritius, and I've been living with HIV since 2007. I guess the biggest challenge that I face with HIV is not really the medication that I take. I tested early, and I'm doing really well on medication. I started medication in 2010, and I became undetectable within 6 months. That means that from that point onwards, I couldn't pass the virus on to anyone else. Now, I guess the biggest challenge that I face is stigma. Stigma because I'm mixed race, so I get a lot of rejection from other gay guys, and then double stigma, I guess, from being HIV positive. Now, we've, I guess, all seen the profiles on Grindr where people state that they're not interested in this or they're not interested in that. Well, I'm really interested to see whether the new initiative that's called Kinder Grindr will make any difference to that. Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see whether we can break down some of the stigma that we face in our own community.
Thanks, Anne, for that amazing insight. Thank you very, very much. We're very grateful. So next up is Bakita, and Bakita is an incredible young woman living with HIV, and she is doing everything correctly right now. So over to Bakita.
What does it mean to be a black woman living with HIV? It's such a good question. It's a tough question. Being a black cis woman living with HIV, it often means being talked about a lot, but not talked to enough. And there's a triple whammy that comes with those identities in a world and society that has so much to say, a lot of the time incorrectly, by the way, about what that means. And there's a massive gap I've found between what people assume my reality is and what it actually is. For me, it means defying the odds. For me, it means perseverance and thriving. And I've found a lot of safety and empowerment with fellow black women and black people in general living with HIV. And as an HIV positive black cis woman, I've really learned within those support spaces that my voice is powerful and not to play small as well, and that I deserve to be seen as an individual with individual experiences. I'm not one type of person, and that I can't be reduced to one thing, and that I won't be.
Wow. Wasn't that good?
Yeah, I think if you haven't got tingles from that, I don't know. I don't know what to say. She's a force.
She is a force. She is unstoppable. Yeah. She's just incredible, and I love her, and just wow.
Just wow. So, I don't know, for me, listening to both of them, there were definitely themes of kind of potential isolation running through it.
Definitely.
Being a black person living with HIV.
Definitely.
And if you're listening to this and you identify with either of the people that have just spoken, there is a community out there for you. So both Anne and Bakita are both, they're quite prolific on social media.
Their social media is amazing.
Yeah.
And
follow them.
Yeah, follow them. Go on Twitter, go on Instagram, follow them avidly. They just, in 140 characters in a tweet, they just nail it every time. It's like they constantly mic drop.
Yeah.
all the time. So go and find them, go and follow them. But there are massive community networks out there specifically aimed at people of colour living with HIV, for different genders, mixed gender, social groups as well. Go and find them, go and access this, go and access them. Like, they will really can and will do as much as they can for you. And if you can't find them, come to us, come to Brigstow. We can point you in those directions.
We actually have a social group, a group called All In, that meets and does various workshops and activities, and it can be a great way to meet people living with HIV and meet people like you living with HIV. Okay, well, we hope that you've learned something from today. We certainly have, listening to those inspirational speakers.
Yes.
And we'll, catch
we
you next time.
We will see you very soon. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Bit of an old one, that one, but I was going through my CD collection and I found that, and I thought I would bring it along. So that's Natalie Imbruglia?
Umbrella.
I used to say Umbrella, yeah. And Tours. So. Oh. You like that one?
Yes, I do. It reminds me of The Neighbours, and it reminds me all about my... Yeah, it reminds me...
Your Neighbours or the TV
neighbours.
Show?
The Neighbours, yeah. And my whole kind of, university time,
We won't go any further into your childhood, Tom.
I think it was 90s, that song, I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it was. I was at university in the 90s. I'm a bit older than you.
Well, I went in 96, so...
Yeah, I was 89 to 93.
Oh, okay, you're way older than me. What am I on about?
Ouch! It's all right. He's having a good go at us today.
Anyway, should we introduce our guests?
Yes, in the studio we've got Maggie Gibbard and Jane Renton. Now, just before we start, I must say that both of them are British Association for Counsellors and Psychotherapy. We're not going to be mentioning anyone's names or any issue specific to anybody. Just like to say that. We're going to be quite generic in the issues we're covering.
So, welcome to you both. Welcome to Shout Out.
Hi.
And we are going to be talking about mental health. Now, we've dealt with that on this show quite a few times before. It's always quite sensitive, but does seem to help the listeners. And so we'd like to take that forward and get them to understand. Mainly, I think we should be talking about the youth mainly, because it's them that's the future of our planet, and those that seem to be taking the biggest hit currently, whether they're LGBTQ or not. Now, there's quite a list that you've given me, both of you, of disorders or names that distinguish the differences between the mental health. So I'm just going to run through the ones you've given me. Anxiety, bipolar, borderline personality disorder, known as BPD, cannabis and mental health, depression, dissociation and dissociative disorders, drugs, alcohol and mental health, eating disorders, personality disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, psychosis, schizoaffective disorder, and schizophrenia. So can we just open that on how do you cope with so many different angles that can be thrown at you? You've got to have such a broad knowledge. So Maggie, if you'd like to start.
Good supervision is what we would... good supervision. Helps us. It's experience. As counsellors, we're not alone. We may work, in private practice or other agencies, but we have support.
Right. So so if you have a really difficult case, Jane, say that somebody's come in and it's quite traumatic, and the parents aren't coping with a child who has some form of disorder or dysfunction, how do you go about trying to help them? Does it not shock you, or do you worry about it after the event?
I guess, first of all, I'd like to say I don't like
to think of people having disorders or dysfunctions. I like to see them as maybe having difficulties.
Oh, okay.
So just on that basis, I always look for, obviously there's a crisis if they're there, but I always look for health around that crisis too, to see what is actually going okay in their lives or what they enjoy, what we can build on to kind of build them up really and nurture them. So that's one aspect of
it. So try and find something positive
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And you know...
Is that kind of quite a general thing when you're dealing with mental health issues? If people are suffering from very negative feelings, whatever they may be, one of the key ways to try and help bring them back up is to find something that's positive for them to focus on. Is that
maybe not that in such a black and white way, but just reminding them that there's more to them than just this thing, yeah. You know. But obviously, you need to support them too, and that might be a question of helping them through their crisis, or signposting them on to other agencies. If I was to feel that I didn't have the skills necessary, I would signpost. Support and the parents, as you say, as well, as far as that is appropriate regarding confidentiality, because when the young person's in your room, it's them, you know, it's their material, and they have to be in charge and control, and confidentiality is key.
I was going to say, it must be quite a hard line, yes, because of course, really, I mean, as far as the law is concerned, if you're a minor, your parents or guardians are usually responsible for you, but it must mean that there are some times when, you know, a kid needs to talk, because it may even be the parents or the guardian that's causing the issue.
So if they're at risk, we would always break confidentiality, and the child will know that as soon as they come in for their first session.
Right.
So if they are at risk, we will look after them, you know, and inform the appropriate person.
So, and then I'm sure I read somewhere, we're seeing quite a serious increase in the amount of...
Specifically trans boys at the moment.
Just children as well, is it not?
Mental illness within children generally, but there's such a spike with trans children. Are you seeing much of that, this spike with young people? Not necessarily trans, but in general across the population?
Yeah, there was a report done recently where they said nearly one in four children or girls aged 14 years had admitted to self-harming. And it does come up as evidence in the counselling room that this is going on.
Wow, that stuns me. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's part of the process? Part of the problem is that actually society's done away with the kind of social circumstances that kids can go out and be together.
I think they're finding different ways of being together. Yeah. Yeah, so they're finding online ways and groups and things online. And that's great because they are being proactive, but there's also misinformation around that. And I think it's really important to have some kind of adult support in that as well. You know, a bit of experience, a bit of world wisdom.
Yeah. Do you think social media has got a lot to answer for? Do you think that's a lot of the cause, or wouldn't you like to comment on that?
I think there's pros and cons to both. Okay. There's a lot of support out there online. There's also a lot of raising awareness online, but also there's also a lot of misinformation. So there is good help online, but also there is stuff that's detrimental.
Is that maybe then, you're saying they're looking online and they're learning online how they should look, maybe how they should think, and they're listening to maybe somebody in this country, a young girl, like my granddaughter, she watches YouTube a lot, and it's usually Americans, and they're being very loud, and they're saying about how you should act, how you should be. There's a lot.
Is it not just a modern replacement, though, for the stereotypical magazines that we used to, you know, see around? I mean, there was a lot of things like body dysmorphia used to come around because you'd see all these. I remember being a young gay man and seeing them and being, I'm not muscly and I'm not smooth.
But I guess then there was a time to reflect, perhaps, and pause and think and, you know, experiment, work things out. Whereas now it just feels a lot faster that you've got to make decisions a lot quicker. Well, you know, you've got to have your hashtags lined up for yourself, haven't you?
We do seem to have done that, don't we? We seem to have. The internet's a wonderful thing and brings so many different things to us. But one of the things it has done, just sped up everything full stop, hasn't it? And is that one of the things, is it another driving factor when it comes to kids and their mental health, that this pressure to do things so much faster than perhaps we would have done?
Yeah, absolutely. Very much of a pressure of now and immediacy with them. And even to make decisions of their, you know, who they are and their identity. It's right. almost as though there's a pressure to do it now. Make a decision. You've got all of this, you know, all these possibilities, but choose now. And one of the things I think maybe Jane would agree is that the important thing is to take the time.
Mm, yeah. And I'm guessing the mobile phone is a big cause of this because they carry it with them.
Yeah, so whereas before, a lot of the pressures, for a young person, if it was at school, that when they came home, they had a bit of breathing space. But now, of course, you're taking all of that home with you, with the social media, with, you know, chatting online, Messenger, all these things. Everything's there, you know, accessible 24/7.
Is there anything, one thing specific that has spiked more than anything else, or are you just seeing a general rise in youth dysfunction?
I think self-harm still on the rise, I would say, and anxiety, you know, so many anxious children coming through the doors.
Is that do you find whether that's political pressures from what they see about things like Brexit, Trump, Russia?
It can be like terrorism attacks that comes up quite a lot, and also academic pressure, you know, that's such a huge part of it, and them going on to university and knowing that they're going to have huge debts, you know, by the time they're 20, and little way of paying those off. So I think another thing I just wanted to point out as well is that the children are kind of having to speed up in the way they develop and identify themselves, and that leaves the adults wrong-footed as well. So teachers and parents finding it incredibly difficult to support these young children in their decisions and in their difficulties at the moment.
Right. I mean, that sounds kind of about faith, because I would have thought that, you know, if a kid is having issues, the first thing you would want to do is say, you know, open up, talk to it, talk to your parents, talk to your siblings, talk to your friends. And they're like, it tends to be the first thing that we've heard recommended before, is that?
But it's so, so difficult to do in reality. Mm. And then when a child comes out as trans or gay or whatever it is, you know, the parents are still that shock for the parents, I think. And certain parents will process it in certain ways, won't they?
Mm.
And the labelling changes as well. And parents are, I mean, we as counsellors, I hear a new label every week. And I have to work out, I have to ask my client, okay, so what do you mean by this?
Yeah.
So it's the clients informing us a lot of the time.
We as a society are very good at trying to put ourselves in boxes, and you know, when someone else's box doesn't fit, I'll make a new one, and suddenly there's another one. We've done shows just talking about the subject before, haven't we? So I'm not surprised we struggle to keep up, and we're certainly with the LGBT side of it, we're very much part of that community, and it does move very fast. You know,
well, I struggle sometimes with the amount of differences. How many genders have been found by Umbrella? Was it 200?
Yeah, it was 200. Wow. It was increasing every week. Wow. They were just adding an extra.
It's just, how people individually identify. And I have trouble keeping up with that. Even being trans myself, I have trouble keeping up with that amount of different.
It's quite as far as you say, it's fluid, isn't it? It's,
exactly. You know,
don't stop boxing it. We don't need 200. Just say
it. I think the box sometimes helps someone to actually have a look at, try and figure out who they are.
Right. There's a lot of.
Yeah. So you're saying the box is needed for the individual, not us?
Sometimes they might need that box to actually see it stop, and actually, you know, that flag they get from Braille might be the one thing that actually is close to being who they need to be.
Yeah. Right.
And it's not cisgendered, it's not heteronormative, but I'm that. And all of a sudden, they can then look for other people with the same flag or similar flags.
Okay. Well, if you remember, I did my five on the whole subject of putting people in boxes, because, you know, when I came out, I hadn't been taught at school about being gay or anything like that, and I thought I was the only one, and, you know, I was quite proud to be part of that box that called itself gay men. It gave me a sense of belonging and a sense of security and being surrounded by people who were the same as me, you know. So I can understand why, from an individual's point of view, it's very, very important. From an outside point of view, and especially if you're a parent or guardian of someone and it's nothing you've ever heard of before, it can be quite daunting. And I would imagine the reaction of the parent or guardian in that situation can probably even make things worse, not better initially.
Absolutely.
But surely with time, though, and them learning, it is still a better idea that, you know, the kids are involving with their parents and interacting, because that's where their main support is.
So the lucky kids are the ones whose parent will support them through that and get counselling, or take them to groups, or, you know, whatever it is, take them to the GP, whatever it is that child needs. Those are the lucky kids. But we know there's so many that, you know, we'll never get through the doors, we'll never get to groups, we'll never get that support.
So I think the answer is coming across that your kids need your love.
That's about it.
Whatever you are, whatever you identify, your mum and dad, you know, need to love you.
Exactly. And listen, you know, you don't have to come up with the answers. You don't have to say the right thing. Just listen, support.
Yeah.
Now, if people want more information on that for things that we've been discussing tonight, signposting, can you tell us websites or?
So the Bristol Mind website has a really good Trans Plus list of resources with lots of groups for young people referenced on that.
Which Tara works for, so in fact, you started, didn't you?
I just helped. But there is also the Trans Wiki website. So for a kind of further afield one, if you go to that's Trans, and of course. The game, you know, there's lots of, you know, search online, you will find lots of information.
Well, you may be a case of you're an LGBT parent and you have a straight kid who's having an issue, you know,
flag for families and friends of LGBT people.
And of course, there's gender intelligence
for young youth.
There's mermaids for.
It sounds like you two might have to give me a hand to put all these on the website later so that we can put them up with the podcast.
There are loads of them and they're needed, to be honest. So there's like, there's the group that come in. Talk to us about schools. You talked about schools,
just like us.
You know, so there are services that are available.
And if you're looking for a private counsellor, they don't need to be like an expert in the field, I don't think, but what they need to be is curious and willing to explore with you and learn with you.
I think if you're a parent, you can help an awful lot and be a massive first step in helping your children.
Absolutely.
Love them to death. Hug them.
Cool. Listen, it's been lovely talking to you both, and thank you for all the advice. You know, it is a subject that comes up on our radar quite a lot, so it is really nice to, you know, talk to you and keep the subject going, you know, because we do get feedback from people that it is a help. So anyway, stay with us. News headlines are up next. You're listening to Shout Out,
the Shout Out podcast.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 4th of October.
Issue 92 of the contemporary culture newspaper Crack is out now from alternative bookstores and independent record shops across the greater Bristol region. This month, the paper is dedicated to the future of culture and looks at initiatives such as cooperative streaming, community radio in China, and a new generation of artists. In one major article, the paper catches up with LGBTQ musicians exploring the new terrain of gender politics and culture. It explains that for people born after the major Labour election victory of 1997, gay and lesbian rights were a given, that is, already achieved. Therefore, they are exploring new identities such as gender fluidity and asexuality. These will inevitably sometimes conflict with the more narrow definitions of gay and lesbian liberation that applied to earlier generations. The magazine is free in its print format and is also available to read online.
Ollie Alexander has become a beacon for gay musicians, following in the footsteps of Will Young, Mark Hammond and Jimmy Somerville, to name but few. Ollie is on the cover star of the little magazine, The Happy Reader, dedicated to all things literary, and he gives a detailed interview about his love for books and what titles have inspired him. From there, the magazine's current issue goes on to explore some of the must-reads for queer people at the moment, from classic exploring our histories and sharing culture, the current-day theoretical and dramatic works. The Happy Reader is available from Rough Trade Record Shop in Bristol's Chinatown or on subscription. Check online for details.
Sky News reports that divorce rates amongst younger generations have fallen dramatically. This may finally put to bed the lie peddled by some Christian moralists who claimed that modern phenomena such as same-sex marriage and liberal attitudes to gender are undermining married life. On the contrary, researchers have speculated that the much lower divorce rates are due to people not being pressured into the institution and because heterosexual couples are following their gay brethren in adopting a more egalitarian model of gender relations within their couplings.
Megan Barton Hansen may not be known to you unless you are a fan of the ITV hit series Love Island. She has become an unlikely feminist icon, telling both right-wing moralists and left-wing anti-sex campaigners that women have a right to sex, self-expression, and refusing to apologise for her past as a glamour model and a stripper. Miss Hansen wrote an article for the I newspaper telling readers that women have the right to active and happy sex lives, free from interference and or meddling. She pointed out the hypocrisy of a patriarchal model that allows males to have a predatory sex drive but blames and shames women who exhibit the same. Miss Hansen has also appeared on ITV Breakfast Sofa on the Good Morning Britain programme, where she wore a t-shirt proclaiming, "Stop judging women on their sexual history."
The new October issue of Attitude magazine, the world's best-selling gay title, is on sale now. Insider interviews with Rami Malek, who stars in the eagerly awaited biopic of the late, great Freddie Mercury, and also contemporary pop star John Grant, whose decidedly left-field queer identity has been critically acclaimed by the music industry. The icon Cher, in the meantime, discusses loving the TV series Drag Race and much else besides. The magazine is available from all larger newsagents across our region.
The gay, bi and transgender men's magazine Dirty Boys, an adult version of the Scene Brother Boys, has called on its readership to join with members of the heterosexual fetish and BDSM communities and get involved in a government constitution on pornographic images. There are certain images perfectly legal in the continental Europe that would be illegal to print in the UK under the 1959 Obscene Publications Act. Now, the state is considering liberalising the law. In the editorial, the editor of Dirty Boys said that the consultation runs until the October the 17th online at the website for the Crown Prosecution Services.
So for these new stories and much more besides, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Tara Fraser
and Terry Starr.
Shout out news.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Especially for Terry, that one.
What was that?
You want to be a punk rocker.
I was slightly too young to be a punk. And also that song is also contradictory, isn't it? Because the hippies wore flowers in their hair and the punks actually had spiky hair.
They did have spiky hair.
Slightly a generation apart. So it's a bit,
more than one generation apart. Yeah. The hippies were back in the 60s.
In the 67 was the main
Yeah, especially, hippies. Well, they hit the heights during the Vietnam War, didn't they?
Yeah,
they,
the anti-war movement and so on.
Yeah.
Were you a bit punk then?
No, hippie.
Oh, hippie. Oh, actually, yeah, I can see that.
Flares.
Yeah.
Flares.
No, just imagine it.
That wasn't. The flares actually 70s, were big. Wasn't big, that was the flares and platforms for the 70s.
The glam rock. Between the hippie phenomenon and the punk phenomenon.
Yeah, I was never keen on that.
It's turning into a completely different show.
Sorry.
Isn't it? It's anyway, hello, Rob.
Hi.
Did you ever have flares or hippie stuff? Or were you a punk rocker?
Only at a fancy dress party, maybe. It was a little bit younger than me.
Careful. Tightrope walking.
No, safely gapped.
Anyway, we should say welcome to the show to Rob Evely from Out to Swim. I am right with that.
You are. Yep. You went quiet. That is my name. That is me. It's Out to Swim West.
Oh, right. Sorry.
It's right.
Yeah, because it's national, isn't it? But you've got different areas.
Yeah. So Out to Swim is an aquatics club which was founded in London in the 80s, and it's grown to 500 members, which I was a member when I lived in London. There was also a branch called Out to Swim South. So now we've just created Out to Swim West.
Oh, yes.
And we're swimming at the
based here in Bristol, I presume.
Based in Bristol, right. Based at the university pool in Bristol. So the university have been very supportive of us starting up, have really, really helped us.
I don't actually know where the university pool is. I presume it's right in the centre, isn't
it? It's in Clifton, Queen's Road, just underneath the Students' Union.
Oh, cool. Cool. And so tell us a little bit about it. Is it literally just like started, or you've been going a few weeks, or
A few weeks. We started with some unofficial sessions before we actually officially launched. So we've now got, I think, 5-6 members, but a lot more interested. We have coach swims twice a week, Saturday lunchtimes and Wednesday evenings. We're very lucky to get access to the pool, because trying to get lanes in a pool in Bristol for any sort of swimming club is really, really challenging.
I can believe that. There's not as many pools around as there used to be either, is there? Because they have closed quite a few down over the years.
They have, and also not all the pools are great for training in.
Oh, right, okay.
So some of them are quite warm, Whereas most people would say, "Oh, that's a lovely temperature to swim in." Actually, for
if you're
when you're doing an hour's training, a nice cool pool is cool pool. That's hard to say. is really quite important.
So, what's the idea behind out to swim then? Is it to be about the meeting, or is it very much about focusing on training and the swimming? Or
it's a combination of lots of things. Initially, the club was started because in the 80s there wasn't really a space for people who were out to be able to take part in competitive swimming. Now things have changed a lot since then, but there's still a need to provide a safe space for swimming for LGBTQ people who want to swim at a certain level. When you go to the clubs in Bristol, they are the rest of the masters clubs, and I'll explain what masters means in a moment, is that they're still unintentionally perhaps very very straight orientated, and actually this provides an opportunity for people to come along and swim and improve on their existing swimming in an environment with other people from the community.
Right.
And when I say masters is a slightly slightly strange term to use, because actually we're not all masters at swimming. Some of us have just started swimming and can do four lengths front crawl. Others swim 3,000 meters in an hour. But masters really describes competitive adult swimming, as defined by the Amateur Swimming Association in the UK.
Oh, right, cool. So is the longer term aim to then get to a point where some of you are actually competing in some of the big events that go on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or all of the out to swim groups all talking and doing stuff? Or?
Well, actually, out to swim combined sent, I think it was about 100 swimmers in the end to the Gay Games in Paris this year.
Oh, wow.
And actually, we got the award for the biggest team.
So
we were even bigger than the hosts,
which
was quite
really
incredible. We had some world record breakers. We won lots and lots of medals, a tremendous amount of medals, actually.
Brilliant.
So that was really very exciting.
So we can get this kickoff in Bristol. The West can be some of the award winners, hopefully.
Absolutely.
So, but I'm assuming that the one of the core things is also the fun of meeting up. I mean, is it the kind of group where you don't just swim, you might then meet up and do other things as well? Or?
Yep, there's a social program too, of course. I mean, we generally, after swim on Saturday, we'll go for coffee or something to eat. We've, of course, got our Christmas party coming up.
You mentioned the C word.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to get in trouble for that.
Is it too early?
Get told off, yeah.
Sorry.
It depends who you ask, I suppose.
Well, Ofcom could shut the station down.
Oh, yeah. anyway, we're digressing, yeah.
There's very much a social element to it. And that's such an important part of the club too, and it's about feeling part of something. And that's one of the main things I got from being a member of Out to Swim in London was actually it was the only LGBT orientated club I'd ever belonged to, and suddenly I found I was swimming with people who were the same as me, and that was a really really comforting feeling. And actually there was we had a stall in Bristol Pride this year, and a young girl came up to me and said, is this swimming for everybody? And I said, absolutely, have you swum before? She said, well, yes, I used to swim competitively before I transitioned. So from age 15, she hadn't been able to swim competitively anywhere or get training because she didn't feel comfortable enough to be part of a non-LGBT plus team. So I'm hoping she hasn't come to a practice yet, but I'm really hoping that she does.
You're saying then, Rob, is that there's a safe space for everybody, including those of the trans community who might feel a little bit nervous.
Is the pool exclusively yours when you were using it?
No, the pool isn't exclusively ours, but the lanes are.
Right.
So we always have a coach. It is a safe space in that context. However, the university are also running bi-weekly trans sessions on a Saturday evening.
Are they?
They are indeed. Okay. You can find more information about that on the university's website.
Cool. Listen, it's lovely to hear, and certainly it's in its infancy at the moment, so I'm hoping what we can do is get you back in 6 months and you go, oh yes, we've got so many people and we love them, we're off to the gay games and the like. So, but what you will have to do is make sure you come back and tell us how it's going.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, if people want to find out more, want to get involved, etc., are you on the usual kind of like social media stuff? And
we are everywhere. You can find us on outtoswim.org/west. That's our own page on the Out to Swim website. On Twitter, we are at Out to Swim West. We also have a Facebook community as well.
Cool. Fair. But listen, it's been lovely lovely talking to you about it, and I really hope it goes well, because I'm terrible. I love swimming and I never go. Perhaps even I should go along at some point. But I hope it goes well, and we'll hopefully catch up with you in a few months.
Thanks so much for having me on.
The Shoutout Podcast.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
There you go. That was The Wanted and Gold Forever, which everyone really loved. So I will never play it again.
Thank you.
It was all right.
Thank you.
I like a couple of Wanted tracks.
Just a couple. So.
Just a couple.
We were talking off air as well, because Westlife are reforming.
Poop-dee-doo.
Oh, yay. God, we're also enthusiastic.
They were okay first time round, but do it second time round. Yeah.
So did Abba ever do their reforming get-together thing? They were going to write some more tracks, weren't they?
They did some solo stuff.
Yeah. They're supposed to have written some tracks, haven't they? But then they're not actually reforming as a band.
No. The blonde, was that Agnetha?
Agnetha, yeah.
Agnetha, she went solo for a while, didn't she? Done a couple of albums.
Yeah, so did Anna Fried. Yeah, and of course Benny and Bjorn wrote Chess, which is still running in London, I think. The musical's been going for years.
Of course, I've been quite involved with the two Mamma Mia films as well, haven't they?
Of course, so. Yeah.
Which is very
fact,
gay.
Benny, is it Benny or Bjorn? One of them is in both of them, playing the piano.
Benny that played the piano, wasn't it?
Right.
And Bjorn is quite respected. He's in the sort of humanist society in Sweden.
Oh.
Yeah,
Maria Royal as well.
I don't know. Just,
yeah, I think one of them married a royal. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry,
this is very
stereotyped.
Can I just
mention it's still DBC show? Let's talk about ABBA. Yeah.
Yeah.
So should we put on Dancing Queen and see what the Prime Minister does?
We'll just sing it. You dance, we'll sing.
Can you dance better than her? Did you see that clip? It was
have you seen my bum?
Have I seen your bum?
Yeah.
No.
Well, you just said you dance. That's quite a significant part of that dance, isn't it?
Well, no, not the Theresa May one. She does the whole arms in the air thing as she walks on.
Oh, somebody done a puppet take on that. They changed it. They put strings on it and done themselves above it, pulling the strings. Absolutely hilarious. Right, gone viral on Twitter, so it's easy to find.
Anyway, if you were trying to get something in quick, you got like 10 seconds. So.
No, it's okay. We'll do it next time. It's only going to abuse you more, so we'll give you some.
That's fine. You said I'm up on the point, so you got some getting your own match to do, I suppose.
I suppose.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, if you haven't seen it, go have a look on YouTube, because it was absolutely hilarious. I shouldn't laugh, but it's a Prime Minister dancing to Dancing Queen. It's just,
that was not dancing.
No, it's cringeworthy. Yeah, it really is cringeworthy.
You should get done for that.
Stick to politics.
That's it for another week, but do stay in contact. Give us a shout, download a podcast. It's all at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
As always, we'll be back next week continuing Black History Month. I nearly said LGBT, yes. That's February, isn't it? LGBT yep. one, isn't it? But for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.